Amen, church.
Amen.
Okay. Only my wife is in the church. Amen, church.
Amen.
Great. How are we doing?
Good.
We had a long weekend, right? I don't know about you guys, but I had a great weekend. On Wednesday, I was off from work, you know, and I was in traffic for a while, but I was off from work, and then, you know, I go home, and I said, it's going to be a great weekend. I'm currently binging a series, it's called The Boys. I don't know if you guys know it. So I'm watching it right now, and it was fun. And then we had Femi and Debbie over yesterday, you know, doing a lot of great stuff. You know, Femi came over and Femi was mowing the lawn. So thanks, Femi, for helping us mow the lawn. But how are we doing? You know, for us as a family, you know, last week was great with our Bible study. Not this week. So last week was great. And it was currently reading the book of Ephesians. And last week it was good. We had a great time of singing on Saturday and just to encourage ourselves. But this week it didn't work out. You know, and it was crazy because I had time. We had a holiday. And what would happen is, my wife is a night person. So she would sleep during the holidays by 1 a.m., 2. I'm a morning person, not a night person, and so by 8:30, I'm done. The day has gone for me. And so I would wake up by 5:30 a.m. in the morning, even if it's a holiday, and my wife is still sleeping. And then I'll be watching BBC and switch to the boys, and before you know it, the whole day will just come. You know, and we ended up not reading our Bibles. And so I don't know about you guys, how you guys are doing in your home, but I hope God is with you guys there. And so today, this morning, I'm going to talk about Ephesians 4. Amen? Because we're reading Ephesians 4. So spoiler alert for my wife, because we just finished Ephesians 3. So maybe we'll have to discuss it later at home, but this is Ephesians 4. Amen? And the message today is a life worthy of our calling. Amen? A life worthy of our calling. If you at home feel, you know, you're looking for a book to read in your family, I can definitely suggest Ephesians, because it's a very complete book. It touches on every aspect of our walk, you know, and our relationship with God, and also the mystery of who God is. In fact, the whole Ephesians 3, to some extent, talks about the mystery of God, which is revealed to us through Christ Jesus. So we're going to break it into steps. Amen. We're going to read Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Amen. You know, the most interesting word in Ephesians 4 is what? For you, what do you think is the most interesting word? In Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3, the scripture you've read, what is the most interesting word for you?
Love.
Love. Amen. I like that. I'm a lover man. Yeah, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Mr. Lover.
I'm a lover man. What other word stands out to you in Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3?
Sanctitude.
What sanctitude?
Oh,
gentleness.
Gentleness. Amen. Gentleness. Yes, gentleness. What other word stands out? Good.
Einheit.
Einheit. Is that
unity?
Unity. Unity. Okay, unity. All right, thanks. Unity. Amen.
And humbleness.
Humbleness. Amen.
Geduld.
Geduld. That is grace. Yeah.
Patience.
Okay, patience. Okay. Now that is grace.
Peace.
Peace. Amen. Peace. For me, the word that stands out the most is worthy. Amen.
Worthy.
Worthy. In the context of what Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3, worthy is in the Greek context is called axios. And axios means balance. Amen, church? Balance. It's a concept of balance. Living a life of balance, of the calling you have received. Amen? I'm going to ask us a lot of questions, amen, because I want to challenge us this morning, amen? And don't feel like, when I'm here to chastise, amen, I'm here for us to ask ourselves internal questions that the Holy Spirit can then use to reveal to us individually what God's purpose is to teach. Amen? What does it mean for us to be balanced? Amen? What does it mean for us as disciples, as Christians, to be balanced? You know, when I look at older people, you know, I was driving today, I saw an older woman with her four legs, extra four legs walking. So I mean the one that, you know,
exactly.
And then she was walking, and I thought about it. There was a time when this woman was in her 30s. I always think about it because, you know, ceteris paribus, so everything being equal, I will get there by God's grace. You know? And so the question is, what is balance for me? You know, as a Christian and as a disciple, balance is having God in everything we do on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
Balance is having God in everything we do on a daily basis. You know, for me and my family, every Sunday is a time of worship. So every time in the morning when we're driving to church, no other music is playing, only gospel songs. And that's because we grew up in an environment where that was the norm. I don't know about, I think Debbie and Femi can attest to the fact that very early in the morning, you would hear from a lot of homes playing really loud gospel music on Sunday. And it's great, but it's not balanced. Amen, church? We can't praise God only on Sundays. It's not balanced. So what does worthy of God's calling mean? What does balance mean to you? You can ask yourself that question. Paul talks about a recipe for walking with God. Amen? Paul talks about a recipe for walking with God. And the recipe is what? It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm not the most patient guy. You know? I don't know about anyone here, but I'm not the most patient guy. You know, on Friday we were in IKEA because my wife wanted to buy plants. And normally, you know, IKEA is like 2-3 hours. And then my wife was just picking stuff. And then I was like, I just started getting impatient. And I was like, I want to go. I just want to go, you know? And I'm like, you need to just get your license, get the car, just drive to IKEA. And I didn't feel I didn't feel like I encouraged my wife well on Friday because of my impatience. You know? And then when I saw the whole design of what the concept of what she had planned, I was grateful to God for my wife, you know. Because the truth is, if it was only me in that house, there would be a couch, a big TV, PlayStation, that's it. That's the recipe of discipleship, amen. The recipe of discipleship is humility. It's gentleness. It's patience. The Bible says in Micah, I think it's 6, and we can turn there if we want. Micah 6, verse 8. Yeah, Misha. Like our brother in Amsterdam. Misha 6, verse 8. It says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. It says, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Church, are we humble now as we balance our lives? Do you feel that all you have has been given to you by your hard work? Do you feel that all you have is because of your wisdom? You know, and then another critical word, you know, is patience. You know, patience, a lot of us, we misconstrue patience to be keeping quiet and not responding. But patience, in the context of the Bible, is called long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Long-suffering. That's what patience is. It means that you will continue to suffer, but you will have to enjoy the suffering. Are you patient, church? Amen. Are you patient? Do you believe in long-suffering? And long-suffering could be that you're praying for something. God, every day I want you to help me with this. And God doesn't answer because it's not his time. That is part of long-suffering. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Are we patient? Do we have the key recipe of functioning as a disciple in God's church? I don't know about you, but I don't. And I think that it's good to be aware of our flaws and ask of God to change our hearts as we consistently try to grow in God's church. Amen? That is the recipe. There is no other secret recipe. And when you think about it, every great man in the Bible had an aspect of this recipe. In fact, David, who God says is the man after God, his own heart, you would see David's humility. Amen. You would see David's gentleness. Amen. You would see David's patience. You know, and Jesus, of course, embodies the whole thing. You know, and the last source is love. And Jesus is, you know, love. Because God is love. So, you know, I want us, as we think about it, you know, as we leave, you know, church, to think about the recipe. Ask ourselves, am I really humble? You know, am I really gentle? Am I really patient? And the key one, am I bearing with another in love? Amen. I think it's very difficult to bear with another in love in church. Because why do I have to tolerate you? Why do I mean, that's your bad character, fix you, none of my business. But that's not what the Bible says, amen. The Bible says we need to bear with each other in love. My second point. So my first point, as a disciple, we need to live the life worthy of our calling. Amen. Second point, we are one. And this is the most important point for the church this morning. Is we are one. And we're going to read Ephesians 4, verse 4 to 8. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave them gifts to his people. Church, are we one? Do you feel one in the bosom of the church? One means, in the context of one, if someone outside the church, or someone that doesn't know God, saw me and Femi, they cannot distinguish that this is Omo and this is Femi from a godly perspective. Amen?
Amen?
Are we one? Do you consider yourself part of the body of Christ? We gotta ask ourselves that question. We have to be really honest. Do you really consider yourself a body of Christ? And the teenagers as well. You gotta ask yourself that question. You know, I'm a kingdom kid, so I know what it is to sit down in church and hear a boring sermon. Amen? I was a teenager as well. Church was boring. I would always be like this when they were singing. And the teen leader would come and be like, "Oh, you gotta have a good attitude." I'm like, "Please, don't. It's just, you know." And you would listen to sermons, and it would be so boring. You know, I would just be thinking about stuff. At the point, I would turn the back of my book and I would be drawing in church. So church is boring for kids or for teenagers. Amen. So if you feel like church is boring right now, understand that it is true. But the older you get, you understand the value of the boring church. Amen?
Amen.
So if you told me almost, I don't know, 20 years ago that church would be fun, I would tell you it's a lie. You know? And we had it more difficult because at the end of the church, our team leader will ask, "Almost, what have you written down?" And then you have to sew. "Oh, I had this point that the brother talked about, you know, and this one." Okay, cool. So you had to listen. Amen? So teenagers, I understand when you feel church is boring. Sometimes church is boring. But church shouldn't be about fun all the time. Because God is not about entertainment. Amen? God is not about entertainment. So do we feel born in God's church? We gotta ask ourselves. No matter how small the character God has given you or the gift God has given you, do you feel that you are born in God's church? And I want us to read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 28, because I want to make a point.
Ephesians
1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 28. So Esther, Corinthians 12. This at Punswana. Amen.
12 to 28.
Okay.
Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews, so whether Nigerian, German, you know, Russian, Ukrainian, Kazakhstani, whatever it is, slave, free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Amen? Now if the foot should say, "Because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Let's stop there. We can read the full one here. I don't care how small you think your gift is. It is important in God's church. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care if you say, man, I'm too sharp. I can't preach. Great. I can't sing. Great. But there's something God has put in you that makes you an integral part of his church. If we go down to read Romans 9 now, free time, the Bible says that it is God who selects those who serve. It is not by our prerogative that we are here. Not by our choice. You know, a lot of times we think it's by our choice, but it is God that chooses us. You know, last week's Sunday, Udo was telling me about, you know, fixing a washing machine. And I was like, man, that's great, because if anything happens to my washing machine, I got a tech expert. You know, and I can think about a lot of gifts in this church. A lot of great gifts. You know, when I saw Libero sing today, I was like, man, this is great. Libero is doing well, you know. And I'm sure Libero, maybe in the past, be like, maybe I preach more, you know. But we all have gifts, you know. You know, I remember in Munich Church, we had our Martha. And our Martha was Carla Vegas. And she's already always there in the house. There's a lot of food. You know, my wife is like that as well, you know. We have a lot of Martha in the church. You know, Martha was the sister of Lazarus, you know, who know how to provide, and everybody's just encouraged. You know, so we have Debbie, we have Clara's Martha, first Martha, and Debbie's Martha assistant. You know, so we have a lot of Martha in church, amen?
Okay.
We have a lot of Martha, you know. We have a lot of amazing people. Yesterday I realized Femi knows how to cut grass. So in case you have grass you want to cut, Femi, you know, football field standard, you know. We have a plethora. We have many talent that God has put in us. Is it finance? You just go speak to Igoche, Igoche gets it right for you. And so that means that we are all important in God's church. And we must see ourselves as that. We must see ourselves as one. And then because we are one, when one part of the body is missing, the whole church should feel something. But if your brother doesn't come to church 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and you don't care, you gotta ask yourself that question. Do you consider yourself one in God's church? And I'm not saying this because I know exactly and I'm practicing this completely. But I'm saying this to my heart as well. Amen, church? We gotta consider ourselves as one. There is only one body in Christ. So therefore means if I'm standing out a lot, that's a problem. I don't know about you, but if you come to see me and then there's one part of my body, maybe just one eye, that is standing out a lot, wouldn't you feel like something is wrong? Why is it that he just has one eye that's just very, very, you know? So we are one in God's body. So we can't let the devil tell us that we're not important in God's church. Amen? We are important in whatever way we serve. But it has to be that we have to have a mentality shift. I shouldn't be in need, and this is a challenge for the church, man. I shouldn't be in need for something. And the first person I'm thinking of is not someone in God's kingdom. It doesn't have to be financial need. For example, it might be a need of encouragement. Because the truth is, someone who knows God encourages you different from someone who doesn't. Do you know?
Yeah.
The encouragement from someone who is aware of God is not an encouragement to make you feel better, but an encouragement to help you to be with God so that God helps you get better. Because I don't know about you, but when people try to encourage me by all their gifts, it's always temporary. In fact, when I leave them, it doesn't take more than 2 hours and I can be back to the feeling I am, because it's not spirit-led. So, it shouldn't be in God's church that our first aid are people who are not aware of God. Amen, church?
Amen.
For those who have greater gifts, because the truth is, there are some people that are greater in the context of how we see life from a physical view. Amen? So, for example, Paul, Peter, all great guys. I'm sure there were other people in church who served. But everyone would be like, yeah, Paul is so fired up. Man, look at his teaching. I'm talking about back in the days, okay? Not now. And for those people, we gotta clothe ourselves with humility. Remembering that everything you have has been apportioned to you by God to serve in His kingdom. I don't know about you, but sometimes in the past, you know, when we were younger, you know, so for me as a teenager, I started playing the drums quite early. Okay, so I was a drummer. You know, and I was too small to be drumming. I was like 12 when I started drumming in church. And, you know, before you know it, pride got into my head. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, we need to spice these things up. You guys are not in my speed. And I started feeling higher than I ought. And then I'm like, you know what? Maybe I don't drum anymore. You know, I don't care. You know, and the truth is, if you think you have so much gift that you become proud, God will raise the person who you think cannot do the thing that you are doing. And that person will do it better. Church, that person will do it better than you think you can do it. Mm-hmm. Because at the end, all our gifts comes from God.
Amen.
I remember a brother came up and he started playing the drums. And in my ear, it's not so great. But the church is happy and they're dancing. And that's how God does it. To you, it doesn't sound great. But to the church, it's amazing music. Because God is using that music to glorify His name and to humble us. So that's why we go, if you remember the recipe, that we gotta walk humbly with God. Alright? We have to have humility. We have to clothe ourselves in humility. So if you feel like you're doing great in God's church, be humble, realizing that it is a privilege. And it is the fact that the gift you have comes from God. So, church, we need a mentality shift. We all have to think about ourselves as one. You know, there's a song, we are one of the Father, we are one of the Son, we are children of the kingdom, we are family, we are one. We got to think ourselves as one. And so, if one part suffers, the other part suffers as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but if you broke my finger, my whole body will feel pain.
Yeah.
It's not just my finger that's going to feel pain. So if one of our brothers is going through loss, we have to feel for the brother that's going through loss. If our sister is depressed, we got to feel for our sister that's depressed. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't live lives individual. And I understand it because in the society we live in, we all want to be individualistic. At work, you want to slap your name on a good template. I don't know about you guys, I work in finance. So when the template goes well and it's beautiful, you want to put it there that Omo made this. But that's not how it works in God's church, amen? If a template works, it's not Omo who made it, it is Dusseldorf Church who made it. And the last point I have to say regarding being one. Church, you can't give what you don't have. If you are not one in your family, you can't be one in church. Otherwise, our oneness is to fulfill all righteousness. Where immediately I leave church, I remove the oneness. And I go outside and I'm in my house and me and my wife are not one. And then when I come back to church, I wear back the oneness and I continue. We are one. It doesn't work at my church. Otherwise, do you know who we become? We become Pharisees. We become teachers of the law, who the truth of God is really not in their heart. So, I'm not saying that we need to come to church and put up a performance, amen? I'm not saying that by tomorrow the church is going to be won, amen? I'm saying that if we have the consciousness and we are walking with a goal that we are one, that God's grace we will get there, amen?
Amen.
My last point, because of time. Fullness in Christ. Amen? Fullness in Christ. What does ascend mean? Except that. So I'm reading Ephesians 4, verse 9 to 13. What does ascend, or rather, what does he ascended mean? Except that he has also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Church, the whole goal of our gifts, so for us that also encourage the church, is to help the church get to unity in faith, and to help the church grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. And so, what it means is, if I'm done with this service, and someone says, the service, I felt like, you could have made everybody laugh more, and made everybody more happy, that's not really important. Because I'm not here to entertain the church. I'm here to foster unity in faith, and that everybody grows in the knowledge of the Son of God. I'm not here to glorify myself. I'm not here to sound like Dave Chappelle. I'm here so that people, so that God can use me, so that everybody's heart is open. Because at the end, all you need is just one word. You don't need a lot of words, amen? I don't need to talk for 7 hours straight. I only need the Spirit to be in work in myself and in you as well. So, a life worthy of Christ's calling is a life centered on Him. And then the goal of discipleship is one thing, church. Is that we become what? Mature. Amen? It's that we become mature. And a lot of times when people ask me, how long have you been baptized? And I'm like, I don't know. In all honesty, I know. I was baptized 2009. I know. But I don't like it. Because I feel like you hear it and you be like, so you're 17 years a disciple. That means you walked in faith 17 years. So that means I have experience. I think I have a lot of maturing to do, amen? I have a lot of growth to do. And that's my personal perspective. Do you feel mature in Christ? Amen? Do you feel mature in God's church? We got to ask ourselves that question. Do you feel mature in God's church? I said it a couple of months ago. I said the world is changing. Amen? Church. The world is changing. It might not change in Udo's time, but the world is changing. Only those maturing and centered in Christ will last spiritually. Amen? The world is changing.
The world or the world?
The world.
The world.
Not the world. The world.
I understood.
Yeah, not the world. The world. The world is changing. Only those maturing and centered in Christ will grow spiritually. And it's not in my Father's time. And you know this because we see in today's time the scripture. Before you would switch the scripture and you would see what the person is saying, and you would read the Bible and you would see the difference. But in times that is coming, people will twist the scripture in a way that when you hear it, it sounds okay. Amen? It sounds okay. And only those who have matured in the Spirit will be able to discern through God's Spirit what is right and what is wrong. Amen, church? And so we got to be centered in Christ. Alright? In 14 it says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by the wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Amen? For example, we now know that everyone says every religion is serving one God. But the Bible says in Ephesians that what? There is only what? One God. Amen, church? Mm-hmm. There is only one God. But when you go out to the world, people say, oh no, this person is serving God in that way, it's still the same God. Now it looks, if you read the Bible, you can see the duality, but there will come a time, church, it might be in my time, it might be in our children's time, where the word and what the world is saying, the disparity will be so thin that we can't tell them apart without God's Spirit. And so we need to all have a responsibility to mature ourselves and also help our family in Christ to mature as well. Amen? Amen. My last thought, because I know what I'm saying is heavy. Blurry line days are coming, where scripture will be perverse and corrupted in a smooth way that it will feel plausible or logical. Only those who are growing and are maturing in the Spirit will be able to tell the difference. And through the Spirit, they will have the courage to stand for what is right. There is a difference between knowing what is good and standing for what is good. Amen? Church. I can know the truth, but if I choose not to stand for the truth, amen, there is a difference. And it will come the time where those who know the truth wouldn't have the courage to stand and say the truth because we're not fully mature. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is the glue that pulls everything together. Amen, church?
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the glue that pulls everything together. Not Omo, not Goshe, not Kostya, not Marina, not Mariana, not anyone. It is Christ that glues the church together. So therefore, not everything is by my efforts. It is only Christ that glues the church together. So if you don't feel pulled with that glue by Christ, you need to ask your heart a question. Amen, church? And I'm saying this not to you, but to myself as well. If you don't feel one in the church of Christ, and I'm not saying the church of Christ meaning our church, I'm saying the God's church anywhere, those who are serving God in truth and in spirit, if you don't feel pulled by Christ, because I'm not preaching church, I'm preaching Christ, amen? You need to ask your heart the question. If the word I'm saying, you're like, nah, whatever, you need to ask your heart a question. Amen?
Amen.
And I pray that by the end, you know, of our journey, You know, I pray that God will give each and every one of us axios, which I said earlier. And axios, I said, is balance. Amen? Balance. That we can be able to go to work and people know we are children of God. That we can be able to go to the supermarket and people know we are children of God. That we can drive on the road. I don't know about you, I have sometimes, I'm like, why are you crossing where it's not supposed to cross? But people can be able to see us and say, the person looks like a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
And I pray that, you know, God will grant us that in Christ Jesus, and also in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's pray. So we're going to pray.